Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
Real talk. What's going on, folks? I am coming to you live from Acme Media Studios here in Tampa, Florida. It is 10:01 somewhere in the world. It's 7:01 here on the East Coast. It's 4:01 on the West Coast. I'm on Radio Live. Welcome to the show. This Empowerment Sunday. It's Sunday, January 23rd. This is a good one tonight, folks. What if the United States charged for public education? What if the United States charged for public education? I had a little chat going on my Facebook. You can hit me up wherever you are, you know, as long as you don't turn into a pesty friend. I am T.M. Hyman on Facebook. T.M. Hyman, hit me up. Follow the show, though, as well, TM Hyman Radio Live, on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter, TM Hyman Radio, just TM Hyman Radio on Twitter. Again, good evening. What if the United States charged for public education? What would that do to the educational structure in America? You know, pay close attention tonight. Reading is fundamental. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. Tonight, the discussion tackles a question you may have never even thought about. Ask yourself, you know, in India, they pay for education. Many kids do not get just basic, you know, ABCs and 1, 2, 3s because they can't afford it. What if you had to pay for basic education? That's the topic tonight. If we did have to pay, how much is too much? You know, what would be reasonable? You know, what would be just, you know, unbelievable? How many people could afford to, you know, send their kids to private school? This is an interesting topic tonight. Jump on it. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. We're going to go for 2 hours strong. We got educators who are going to weigh in, hopefully. If not, we're going to make it happen anyway. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Welcome to the show. Thanks for the support. Let's get it in. What if we had to really pay for public education? I bet you never thought about it. We'll be back.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show.
A long journey ahead, millions of cars. We have something to tell you. I don't know if it's here perform, but I can perform this one tour for you. You know they're gone through.
She gets up every morning, gotta drag us on for the bed. Cigarettes. Nobody wants to become boring. She's been wild and ever since. And plus she was so charming. How did she resist? Now she can't get the call back. Oh, no.
like this, huh? Hear me?
Tell me.
Radio Live, welcome to the show. It's January 23rd, 2011. I've been saying 2010, and no one has said anything to me on the sidelines. I realize it's 2011. I'm happy. Happy New Year to you. Again, welcome to the show. Thanks for riding with us. We do not take the love for granted at all. Yo, hit us up, TM Hyman Radio Live on Facebook. Tell a friend to tell a friend. You know, we really need the support. Hit us up on Twitter as well. Yo, we hitting the road coming up in a few months. We are hitting the road for a 20-city tour. And if you know artists who are hot, I mean, they really got to be on point. You know, when you're going out of town, you got to put on your best, you know, and we don't want to take, you know, garbage on the road with us to promote. We got a real nice tour. And we want to, you know, make sure that we get some of the best of the best. If you're interested, send us an email. You know, we want to get somebody in contact with you. You know, talk to you over the phone, see how serious you are, ask some probing questions, get some music, you know, and we can get it cracking. We are soliciting the best of the best. We only had a few slots, so don't be mad with us. This is just a promo tour. More to come in 2011. All the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Always in place, always on point. She brings us entertainment and national news. Give it up for CeeLo.
Good afternoon and morning time. Thank you very much for having me. How do you do?
What up? What up? What up? All the way live from Chesapeake, VA. We call her Demariquois. Her real name is
Demariquois.
Domare. Welcome to the show.
All right, all right, all right. Hey, everybody.
Hi, man.
Hey, we're glad you're feeling better.
I'm okay, thanks.
All the way live from Newark, New Jersey.
Wow.
It's Delaware. Newark, Delaware. Newark, Delaware. Give it up for Toya, everybody.
That's right, Newark, not Newark. There is a difference. Hey, now, how's everybody doing this evening?
Evening, good evening.
Every time I say it, I think of Jersey. Not to be mistaken with Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Hey, this is a serious one, an interesting one, but a serious one. In India, like somebody pointed out to me on my Facebook a little while ago, in India they pay. You know, and I know her. She actually traveled to India with her job, you know, the person that made the comment. And it just, like, I know it's not just India. I was thinking, like, places, you know, over on the African continent where, you know, education is like, yo, please, get out of here. You know, it doesn't even really exist in some places. And then other places you have to pay. And if you don't meet the requirements, if you can't pay, you don't become educated. What if our society actually came to that point? Because when you talk about debt, you know, we're there. We're there already. You know, this is a serious one. What if the United States charged for public education? You know, what do y'all think about that?
I'm telling you, like, when we hinted on it the other night, a lot of kids would be either homeschooled or not educated at all. It's a lot of parents that have a problem with purchasing, you know, the uniforms for the children to wear. And I'm not even speaking of the ones who are not financially able to do that. I'm not speaking of them. I'm speaking of the ones that are. And they don't want to, you know, get the uniforms. You know, I mean, so, and then how much would it be? How much could a family really afford to pay for their child to go to school? And wouldn't that pull, you know, the parents or the family unit apart more, because then the parents will probably have to work more, or, you know, the family supporters will have to work more to pay for school, like paying for daycare. It's like a never-ending cycle. And then and we have problems now. And, you know, like here in Charlotte, they're cutting back, you know, on the teachers. So then if they had to pay for it, would they still have, you know, the small, I mean, the, like the large classrooms with the one teacher still, you know, with the 40 kids with one teacher? And then would that be, you know, how would that change the public school system? I don't know.
Right. Yeah, the ratios, I think, are off already. I mean, I have a friend that yeah, – I actually have a couple of friends that are teachers. And one specifically told me that she has 18 first graders or either kindergartners every day. And I think 18 is, you know, is a bit much as far as, you know, like teacher-to-student ratio. But to your point, you know, when economics is an issue – ratio becomes a problem. But see, quantity versus quality when it comes to education is a different, you know, is a different monster altogether. If you just tuned into the show, the topic tonight is what if the United States charged for public education? That's what we're talking about. Weigh in. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Tell a friend to tell a friend to log on to www.hacmedia.com. The sponsors of this awesome program here. We appreciate HAC Media. Log on. Toya, in Delaware, where I think the representation of the Tea Party was most prominent this past election. Have you sensed any type of undermining in the educational system in the state of Delaware?
No, just like any other state, I think it depends on who heads the school systems. We have different school districts that do better than others, and then not only who heads the school, the district, the school system, but also who heads the individual schools. I know my daughter's school district as a whole is actually not performing up to standards as far as state standards are concerned. But my daughter's school is performing at or well above state standards. So I think it all depends on who's running things. You know, if you have someone who cares or someone who doesn't. They haven't talked, well, not that I know of. No one's really talked about charging for a public school. I mean, we have a lot of charter schools here that have no cost. We have a lot of really good private schools, but they're very, very costly. And we do have some really, really good public schools. So, I mean, it just all depends on where you are and what school you're in, just like any other state.
Help us understand the difference between private school and charter schools, for those who may not know.
Well, private schools are privately funded, and the students actually have to pay to go to school, and their parents have to pay. Teachers and faculty at the school – they are not paid by the state. Instead, they're actually paid based off of the tuition that's paid by the students. Charter schools, you don't pay for charter schools. You do have to actually, like, apply to get into a charter school, just like you have to apply to get into a private school. You have to meet certain standards and criteria, whereas at public school, you can just go sign up and go show up to school. So charter school, it's kind of along the same lines as a private school, but you don't have to pay for that education. So.
Thank you very much. Let's go to the phones. Area code 314, last four digits, 4644. Tell us your name, where you're calling from. The world is yours.
Yeah, this is Bianchi calling from the Midwest.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for weighing in tonight. What if the United States charged for public education?
Well, that wouldn't be no good. And that would make people really get away from it then, because people had enough money to the point they wanted to sell what's being offered. Well, and people would go elsewhere. You know, I've been studying this issue with education, especially as it applies to black and African-American students for about the last, since the latter part of the 80s. And I don't know if that's what your top of your, if your gist of your conversation is going, but when you see a school district for instance, an African-American school district, black school district, that's heavily funded from the state and also the federal government, then that's where you start seeing a whole lot of dismal action. School districts that's received, say, 96 to 98% of its operating funds from the local community are the ones that you see perform the best. I'm talking about in public schools. But you got that dilemma where in your black districts, you receive so much money from the state, upwards of 35%, and sometimes you turn around and see almost double digits from the federal government. Well, right then and there, those two entities control what it is that you're trying to do. This thing where you teach to the test is totally ridiculous. And even so, because I remember when in your black schools where they outperformed the requirements that was based on the hour-based skill test. This was years and years ago. But when these schools in the inner city mastered the hour-based skill test, well, they just changed the test. And if the present testing system that you have today, if they're going to change, if you want to see you're going to get a turnaround within black society as it pertains schooling, you're going to have to fund that schooling yourself. And sadly, that this whole thing is not racism. This is about competition. And schools are not going to fund schools where your children compete against them for little meager jobs that are left here in the United States. It's going to happen. And if it was, surely it would have happened by now.
Right, that's a great point. Hey, tell us your name again and where you're calling from. So thanks for weighing in. And please, hey, hang out with us. Tell us your name again.
Well, my name is Pianki. I'm in the you don't have no chat room, do you? It's Pianki. And I'm calling from here in a cold area of the Midwest.
Okay. Hey, well, you sound very knowledgeable, man. So hang out with us. We appreciate you. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, it is 7:18. Coming to you live from the studios of Hack Media here in Tampa, Florida. We'll be right back.
Ladies, if you're anything like me, you never have enough time in your day to handle all of the important things. So why waste your valuable time running from store to store to purchase everyday items? Listen, I have your solution. Log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. It's your one-stop shop for just about everything you need, from cleaning to nutrition to beauty. If it's in your home, it's on the site, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. Exclusive items right at your fingertips at your convenience. Determine your destiny.
Need energy? Can't sleep? Yo, you have discomfort? Yo, I got a solution for you. The name of the company is called Ciora. Yo, I need you to log on. Foresight.ciora.com. www.foresight.ciora.com. Stress, pain, can't sleep, all of those issues. Put the Red Bull down. Stop popping those pills because this product is non-transdermal. Ciora is the company. Yo, it's global. It is blown up, and now it's all over the world. Be the first to try a new cutting-edge solution. www.foresight.ciora.com. Foresight.ciora.com. Can't sleep? Need energy? Got discomfort? Ciora.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
I really can't see as much of a difference, maybe because her first grade year
the teacher really wasn't all that great at the public, I'm sorry, the private school. And like I said, she's in one of the better public schools, elementary schools in our area. So, you know, she's fortunate enough to be in a really good learning environment as far as the public school is concerned. So, I mean, you can see the difference depending on what schools, you know, private or public, what public school you actually go to. I mean, you can choice out and go to whichever public school you want to go to, but you have to make sure you choose a good school. I know that's sad to say, but you have to make sure you choose a good school, because if not, you'll definitely see the difference between private and public school.
Right. Folks, the way into tonight's topic, hit us up, 917-889-3926. We are talking about something that you probably have never asked yourself. You know, would you pay for basic education here in America? Has it been free for so long? And really, it hasn't really been free for all of us for too long. It's just really been under the last, you know, 50 years, you know, 40 years in which everybody has been able to acquire a fair education. And, you know, some will probably debate as to whether education is really balanced out fairly in America. I think just off of what we know when it comes to, you know, geographical locations and areas and districts and suburbs versus urban areas, education is not balanced. Why is that? You know, do we not care enough about education to where we just sit back and let it be what it is? What if we, in fact, had to pay for it? How many people would pay? How much would be too much? You know? But, again, I think that I agree with the fact that sometimes you do have to, you know, put forth a few dollars. You got to put forth. I could remember my mom putting me in, like, what is it, like reading his fundamental classes or hooked on phonics. I can remember being on a hooked on phonics class when I was – like young, like crazy young, understanding vowels and syllables and things like that. I mean, because she didn't have the time, she was working, but she had the tutor. Let's take education a little more seriously, folks. CeeLo, have you ever had a tutor, or Didi, have you ever had to get a tutor for your daughters? And if so, how much did it cost?
No, I didn't have to get a tutor for my daughter. I taught my daughter myself. Now, whether she has tutoring now, I'm not sure about that, but I don't think so. She's been on the honor roll ever since it was at third grade. So, she was, like, in a gifted class in second. But it was, like, she was going to a school in Virginia Beach, and at one point they had started doing the year-round school. Now, when they came to the, this was, like, the following school year, they had, like, a meeting because they wanted to decide, you know, whether this was good for the school and district, blah, blah, blah. So they have this big meeting. The thing is that all the parents were for it, all the school, the faculty, everyone was for it. But because of the district that it was in, the people who had the money really ultimately made the decision to send the kids back to the regular school year. But that hurt the children. The children were doing much better with the year-round school. They're, you know, kids, they're a sponge when they're young. So, you know, they didn't have that long break in between. You know, the year-round worked out for the kids. But because the funding wasn't there, because like the caller was saying earlier, you know, because they receive most of their funding from the state and the government, it's like, okay, well, we can pretty much decide what we want to do regardless of what's good for the children. I mean, and they're still making that decision, you know. So, yeah, if we pay for it, okay, but how much better would it be if we do pay for it? Like, or is it going to stay the same? Because if it stays the same, then, no, the children should be taken out of school. Because it's something.
Don't we know that education right now is not worth paying for? And my question is, if we know that right now that it's not worth paying for, why don't we just stand back, sit back, and just allow it to kind of continue to crumble? It's our tax dollars. We do not hold school boards in our communities accountable, because if we did, I think we could close the gaps. And even if we can't. can't completely close the gaps, I think we can make it better. Let's go back out to our friend out in the Midwest. He said he's been studying this type of thing for quite some years. I'm going to ask you, my friend, why is it that the education systems across the country still continue to be below par? I can tell you this, Virginia, and that's where I was educated primarily, up north, but primarily in Virginia, education was superb in Virginia compared to other places. People didn't play. They held the system accountable. Why is it so difficult for us to hold the systems accountable?
Well, school boards can't be recalled. That's why. You can't recall a school board member. I don't know any state
in the
country.
What does that mean you can't recall a school board member?
Well, that means that if they aren't performing in the way they promised to, then you have the right to politically remove them by recall.
Right.
And
right.
See, you're talking, if that's, the teachers' unions are mimics to our education, especially, I'm talking about black children. I'm sorry, but that's my study, is how this education system has been deplorable to African-American children. Before 1954, African-American children was getting a damn good education. The only problem they had was they just didn't have the infrastructure and the facilities. 1954, board education, Brown versus Board, was a drawback when they said that we must have physical integration. And that decision caused about 30,000 to 45,000 black teachers and administrators across the country to lose their jobs because whites just would not let them have anything to do with the education of their children. So the teachers' union, for instance, you're talking about charter schools, teachers' unions came out very, very strongly against charter schools and alternative education. And, you know, you have black teachers who are members of these unions. They're paying dues to these unions. Then the local union pays a due to the national, and it's these national unions like the AFT and the NEA that's buying off your politicians who you elect and send to the state house or the federal government in order to champion your cause. So you want in charter schools, you want an alternative educational system, whereas the people that you elect who's supposed to be there on the assembly floor, you know, championing your cause, well, they're being bought off by these unions, threatening that if you do go this direction, we're going to get you out of there.
What's the one thing that has caused you to continue to be on the, you know, to just march towards the good fight of education for so many years? Well, what is it?
Well, you have to understand what's going on. And the only way you understand what's going on, you have to do the research, and you have to talk to a lot of people. And then let me tell you, there are black schools, all black schools, that's doing tremendous things. They just don't have an economic component to their education system. And this deal I heard you earlier talking about the number of students in a classroom. Well, in the United States, you need to have a tutor or a mentor alongside every one to three children. And that person could come out of the community. And it's not that our children are so bright. We have some of the brightest children in the world, but they have so much baggage that they bring from their social lives in their communities to school. And it's unsurmountable. You know, like the lady said, that you had one school that's outperforming the district. But see, if that school every year in the fall is pulling from the community, it may not perform consistently. It may have its ups and downs based on the new intake of children. And these children are bringing a lot of things with them that's not going on in our communities.
Yeah. Folks, my friend, stand by for us. We appreciate you for checking in and hanging out with us tonight. Continue to hang out with us. We appreciate you being here with us tonight. Folks, coming up, Finance live out of Delaware. The topic tonight, if you just tuned in, what is the United States charge for public education? They pay for education in many parts of the country. We've got to stand up and not take our education for granted. If we had to pay for it, a lot of people would be in a bad place, a very bad place, and they would be left that much further behind. Stand up and understand, this is not a game, my friends. What if the United States, you know how they change our laws, what if the United States said, you know, hey, states, it's your right as a state. If you want to increase your tax, you know, situation and improve something immediately, let's start charging for education. Let me think about that. Let's talk about the social baggage that our children are facing today. As we continue this interesting program, it's Empowerment Sunday, January 23rd. Back in a moment. Joint Rain from the Tell still a music group. You in tune to T.M. Hyman Radio Live. WHAC in full effect. Thanks for riding with us tonight. It's Sunday, January 23rd, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Happy birthday to our special guest tonight, Jamie Brinson. She's an educator out of Houston, Texas. Up next, our special guest. Again, big up and happy birthday. Folks, all the way live from Newark, Delaware, with finance. It's Toya.
Good evening, good evening, and hello to everyone. This evening, we just wanted to touch on the 9 reasons to say no to credit. You know, with credit abundantly available, you know, getting what you want right away, regardless of whether you have cash to pay for it, it's sometimes a common practice to use a credit card. You know, we'll rationalize ourselves, convincing ourselves that the behavior is acceptable. But I'll give you 9 reasons why you may want to take yourself out of drawing on credit. First, financing your purchases doesn't teach self-control. I mean, at best, an unwillingness to exercise self-control when it comes to money can rob you of financial security. Second, financing your purchases means you aren't sticking to your budget. If you don't have a budget, you need to get one. We talk about it all the time here on the show. A budget will help you keep track of where your money's going. It will let you know how much money you have left. That way you know how much money you can spend on a big purchase. Third, credit card interest rates are expensive. The reason self-control is so important when it comes to your finances isn't really just a moral or spiritual thing. It's pretty much a practical thing. Credit card interest rates are high, which can make financing your purchases very expensive. Also, credit card interest rates increase when you can't pay off your balance in full. So a lot of times you get this great annual percentage rate, and you think that that may be around forever, and 9 times out of 10, it won't be, because it's just an introductory rate, and it's going to increase after a certain time period or if you can't pay your balance off in full. Fifth, a poor credit score can affect your insurance rates, being accepted for a job, or the ability to finance meaningful purchases like a home. So if your credit card balances go unpaid, then your credit score will start to diminish, and you know that that number will follow you around everywhere. Also, poor financial habits can jeopardize your relationships. As we all know, money is probably one of the main reasons couples and families fight. It can be an extremely touchy subject, especially when there's not enough money going around. So budgeting for expenses should be done with the family and with the significant other in mind. Seventh reason, financing purchases can lead to higher spending. Some people spend more money either by purchasing more items or by purchasing more expensive items when they're paying by credit card than they would if they were paying by cash. Eighth reason, in a worst-case scenario, the habit of financing your purchases can lead to bankruptcy. So if you go on enough spending sprees without a plan for paying them off, or your plan goes awry because you lose your job or you get hit with massive medical bills or anything of the sort, then you'll find yourself hopelessly in debt, and the only way to get out of it will be to file bankruptcy. And we all know that bankruptcy usually follows you around for about 10 years. So just keep that in mind. And lastly, avoiding financing can bring you peace of mind. If you don't owe anyone money, then you don't have to worry about late fees, interest, annual fees, over-the-limit fees, and just not having money because you're constantly giving it back to someone else. So the bottom line is just remember, not financing your purchases doesn't mean you can't pay with a credit card. You just have to pay your balance in full within a month. The convenience, protection, cashback rewards, and all of those things offered by credit cards usually makes them a handy tool if you use them wisely. But the truth is, you can't really afford it, then, you know, maybe you're giving yourself a gift in the short term, but you'll be giving yourself a really expensive headache in the long run because you'll always owe someone. So just keep those things in mind. And again, budgeting is a really, really big thing. If you don't have a budget and you don't know how to set one up, just send an email to tmhymanradiolive@gmail.com, and we'll be more than happy to help you with that.
Yo, I got a solution for you. The name of the company is called Ciora. Yo, I need you to log on. Foresight.ciora.com. www.foresight.ciora.com.
stress, pain, can't sleep, all of those issues. Put the Red Bull down. Stop popping those pills because this product is non-transdermal. Sierra is the company. Yo, it's global. It is blown up, and now it's all over the world. Be the first to try a new cutting-edge solution. www.foresight.sierra.com. Foresight.sierra.com. Can't sleep? Need energy? Got discomfort? Sierra.
Ladies, if you're anything like me, you never have enough time in your day to handle all of the important things. So why waste your valuable time running from store to store to purchase everyday items? Listen, I have your solution. Log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. It's your one-stop shop for just about everything you need, from cleaning to nutrition to beauty. If it's in your home, it's on the site, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. Exclusive items right at your fingertips at your convenience. Determine your destiny.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Take down these 10 digits, 50 second nigga, 1 minute. but I ain't got much rap. Buckshot to you muskrat. Point blank, just to hush that. Fruity thanks, I will punch that. I'm hungry with my lunch yet.
What you doing, shorty? You need to slow down. Pull over to the side, write my phone number down. And just call me later. Hey, what you doing, shorty? You need to slow down. Pull over to the side, write my phone number down. And just call me later.
Hey, call me later. D-God, WHACT, Muhammad Radio Live. Tonight's topic, what if the United States charged for public education? The question at hand, how different would the education landscape become if the U.S. allowed states to finance public education? How different would the landscape become? Folks, do me a favor, welcome our special guest to the show tonight, educator Jamie Brinson, out of North Houston tonight, and it's her birthday. Thanks for stopping past. Welcome to the show. Ms. Brinson, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I got on the call kind of late, so I may be piggybacking on something others might have already said. But I want to point out that if we gave people the option to, I guess we're saying if we had the option to pay taxes for education.
Not even an option. What would it be, or how would you feel if Congress and the House came together, said, let's do it, let's help our situation out financially, let's pay for education?
If Congress decided to pay for education, is what you're saying?
No, if they said that
okay.
We had to, let's
okay.
pay for it.
I think education already is kind of in a rut, and, you know, specifically we're not paying for education. I think that we would be in a lot worse situation. You have to think about now, I was thinking about a program we have at our school where our assistant principals and principals actually have a project where they go and retrieve or find the students that have dropped out of school or, you know, we just haven't come to school in a whole lot of days or something like that. And it's to the point where at some point you have to make the children and their parents accountable. So if we're saying that already, you know, you have a free education and we're forcing you to come to school, you get to a point where if I'm giving you the option and you really don't have to come to school, then we're going to be in a lot worse situation. You know, because...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You deal with adolescents from what age and what grade level?
I'm in high school. I'm in kind of a low income area as well. I think we're considered a Title I school. Ninth grade high school campus. So we have we probably do have a pretty large dropout rate compared to other districts.
So when it comes to social
I think those situations.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so in areas like that, I think it would be very unfair because these children come from, you know, different backgrounds, families that a lot of times don't have the income as is. You know, their outlet is school. That's the best part of their day is coming to school anyway. So for you to say that now their parents are responsible for paying for their education, it just won't happen. I mean, point blank, it just won't happen. They won't receive an education at all.
Yeah, I think it would be a large protest on that one.
When it comes to social baggage because of the conditions, the living conditions, as you just speak of students that you deal with every day, what kind of social issues are they really challenged with? That's what we kind of ended the last segment, and I want to make sure we touch on the reality of the social issues that young people are dealing with in public education today.
I mean, the things that children come, the kind of baggage they come with, you can't even ever think of. You know, you have kids who have watched their parents be murdered right in front of them, and then they're forced to come to school the very next day. You have kids that get kicked out, and then they're living in foster homes, or they're living in, you know, just living anywhere. They're basically homeless. you have kids that, so coming to school for them is the good part of the day. Their teachers are who care about them the most, so this is where they want to be. So if you're telling these types of kids that, hey, you have to pay to walk through these doors, then we're turning them around. It's basically what we would be doing. So, I mean, we would lose so many students that benefit from having a free education, and it just wouldn't be fair. But, I mean, you have so many issues. Students get bullied all the time and not want to come to school, or just parents verbally abusing them or physically abusing them. I mean, these kids have so many issues that they're dealing with. Terrence, you can't even imagine, you know?
Right. Unbelievable.
I'm talking about those examples that I gave were examples that situations that I've heard my kids talk to me about. I've actually heard every situation I mentioned I've seen in my classroom. So this is real. It's not a game. It's real.
How prevalent is support? How much of the population supports the school from as far as parental and guardianship? PTA, how many people attend PTA meetings?
How many parents are a part of the PTA? You have 3,200 kids on campus. I would say we probably have 30 parents a part of the PTA. And I guarantee most of those parents are not the parents of the kids that could actually benefit from their parents being a part of the organization. You have kids that don't even see their parents when they get home. Their parents work the night shift. You have kids that skip all day because their parents leave before they do, and they just don't even come to school. When you call the parent, and the parent thinks that their child has been at school all this time, but they haven't. So a lot of these kids don't even have relationships with their parents, or they may not even be living with a parent. They may be living with a friend, or they may be living with, you know, like I said, a foster home or something like that. So the support system from the parents is very, very low.
Folks, we're going to keep this conversation going at the top of the hour. It is 7:59. We'll be right back with our special guest, Jamie Brinson, educator out of North Houston tonight. TM Hyman Radio Live.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show. Talk Radio Show.
Ladies, if you're anything like me, you never have enough time in your day to handle all of the important things. So why waste your valuable time running from store to store to purchase everyday items? Listen, I have your solution. Log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. It's your one-stop shop for just about everything you need, from cleaning to nutrition to beauty. If it's in your home, it's on the site, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. Exclusive items right at your fingertips at your convenience. Determine your destiny.
This is Dude TM Hyman, your hip-hop informer, coming to you with your Empowerment Sunday word. You know, I just want to talk to you about confidence tonight. A lot of times, you know, people can say things, we can hear things, that can kind of blow our mood, you know, rain on our parade, if you will. But I just want to encourage anybody who has a vision, anybody who is trying to make something happen, and you may not be getting the support from others that you really, really need, expect, or desire. Sometimes you got to learn how to be a self-motivator. You got to motivate yourself, pick yourself up, whether somebody gives you a hand clap or kudos, a token of appreciation. Sometimes it has to be driven from within. Confidence. Look the word up, understand it, grab it, embrace it. Be confident in what it is that you're doing, knowing that God has planted gifts, talents, and a vision in you, and whether somebody wants to support it or not, you and God, and I'm sure there's somebody that you can touch and agree with. Whereas two that touch and agree, it is so. This is your dude, T.M. Hyman, your hip-hop informer. Again, just trying to encourage you, and empower you this hip-hop encouragement, empowerment Sunday. We'll be right back. It's Sunday, January 23rd. You're in tuned to T.M. Hyman Radio Live.
Tuned into T.M. Hyman Radio Live. You just heard a new joint, Rewind by Buttercream. This evening we're talking about education and what would happen to the state of education if we had to start paying for public education. We have a guest, Jamie Brinson, online. She's speaking with us this evening about, you know, the role she plays with her students and what she sees, you know, day in and day out. Jamie, you did mention earlier that, you know, with a lot of kids in your school, coming to school is an outlet for them. They're, you know, they like coming to school. It's better to be at school than maybe in their situation at home. Do you think that, you know, charging for kids, you know, to come to school, and if parents can't afford it. I mean, what happens? What will happen if parents can't afford it? What do we do? You know, if I can't afford to pay for my daughter to go to school to receive a public education, what happens then? What do you think will happen? You know, do they just not go to school? What's the next step?
That's all it is. That's exactly what's going to happen. They're not going to attend school, and we're leaving them at home all day. What happens when you leave kids unattended at home when their parents are at work? You know, we're creating more violence. I mean, it's just a whole lot of different things that are going to happen, but they're all going to have a negative impact because they're going to get bored and they're going to find things to get into, and we're just going to have a generation of uneducated, unsuccessful children who are going to, you know, one day be our leaders. I mean, it could never happen, and I don't think it would ever happen because of low poverty areas especially, and that being because of, you know, what those kids face at home, what kind of experiences they have at home, and how do you tell a child they can't receive an education? How do you tell a child they can't come to school or they can't socialize with other, you know, kids around their age and things like that, that, you know, I can't afford it. So you have to stay home and keep your little brother, or keep your little sister. That's, you know, that's going to affect them education-wise. It's going to affect them socially. And we would just create a whole generation of just turmoil, really. I mean, I can't even imagine. I really can't.
I mean, but when you think about it, I'm sorry, Chris. I was just going to say the next logical thing to think would be that, okay, if I can't pay for my child to go to school, then there's going to be homeschooling. But now I'm supposed to not work so that I can stay home to teach
exactly.
my child. Okay, and
exactly.
at that point I can't pay my bills. And then what happens next? So,
right.
I mean,
it's
really
like
it's kind of like a no-win situation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I am totally hopeful that in 2011, the United States of America, since integration in 1954, I would hope that we would never go back that far. I think when I think of other countries like India and other places that are like third world that really don't have the type of educational structure, I think we can compare ourselves to them and say that will never happen because really a system or structure has never been in place in those countries. And hopefully, you know, they will develop into, you know, a stronger, more empowered country where education is offered to all people. I'm very hopeful, Ms. Brinson, that we would never be able to go back in time that far to where we would have to pay. But I think, you know, in this hour, we got like 50 minutes left in the show. Let's fast forward again to 2011, where we are right now. And again, you know, the social baggage, you know, the teachers' unions, private school versus charter school, vouchers, you know, the suburbs versus, you know, the rural versus the urban communities of very distinct differences. You know, I mean, what is our responsibility to education in education, and are we living up to our responsibility? I forget your name, my friend, out in the Midwest. But are we Pianchi, thanks for hanging out with us, man. Are we living up to our responsibility to education as citizens here in the United States?
Well, let me, according to state constitution, education has to be offered to a child until they're 17 years old. So that's not going to ever get to the point where you have to pay for public education. There should be vouchers. There should be alternatives. There should be choice.
Congress can never change what the Constitution currently states about education.
No, the state Constitution, not the federal Constitution. Federal Constitution don't have to say anything about education. I mean, the state constitutions that demand that children attend school until they're 17 in most cases. So there's not going to be no thing. They need to have options like vouchers and alternative education other than public school. I wouldn't get rid of public schools entirely because there are some that are doing some very good things, and it should be an option if people want it, but it should be more competition.
Hey, I just want to clarify. So you're stating that the state could never overturn what the law has been written to declare education up until the age of 17. That could never be changed.
No, why would they? I mean, there's nothing to benefit from it.
No.
Remember,
I told you,
the federal government has. Yeah, the federal government don't have its hands in every school district. Only the ones that's your urban school district, a lot of your, especially your black school districts, is where you have a lot of input from the federal government. If you're not receiving any money from them, they can't tell you to do anything. So in many state constitutions says that, for instance, the curriculum, whatever the curriculum is based on the local concerns. It should be the state board of education that dictate what the curriculum is. They can set a minimum floor, but the local concerns can take that curriculum as high as it possibly can be. That's why I say a lot of this blame goes back on black folks today as it pertains
right.
to African-American
children. I just want to clarify and put in layman's terms. For those folks who may not be up on your political game, or really don't understand structure, let me break down what, I'm going to keep chopping your name to pieces. But Mr.
Yeah,
P, let me tell you what Mr. P just said. What he just said, because just the concept of changing the education system is so ludicrous to him. What he's saying is, the idea is so stupid, no one should ever vote for or be in favor of paying for education. Pretty much that's what he's saying. But the reality is, if you don't read the things, the amendments, and the things that are part of your local law changes during elections, if you're not reading, you could say yes or no to something that could be life-altering, like amendments to the Constitution. Because I only asked, Mr. P., are you saying that it can never be changed? I know it sounds ridiculous to you, but the people can vote and have that changed at any time. Now, they would probably have to all be tricked in order for it to be changed, but, somebody could propose an amendment that could end up on our ballot that the people are not reading, and they just say, yes, I'll vote for it if they don't understand it, and guess what? We just changed the law of the state, now we're paying for education. You understand what I'm saying to you, Watch?
I understand what you're saying, but it's not going to happen. Why would white folks want to change that? It's working very well for them. Blacks is a minority here in the country. It doesn't work for us.
I totally get the realism of it and what you're saying. I totally get that.
And let me tell you something else. See, the federal government, no court has ever defined what a quality education is. You had a case in New York, I think you say you're from New York, where the courts never came out and said what a quality education was. And
education was in Virginia. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. But anyway, it was defined as being as simple as being able to read the ballot issues during a vote or election. So no court has ever defined what a quality education is. That's up to the local concern. Local people themselves should define and set the direction of which their education system goes on in their schools.
And folks, we got to stand up and do our part because, again, we are in control of what happens in our local schools. Let me go to the phones. Area code 757, last four digits, 9575. This my man, Ron Ferb. Happy birthday, Ferb.
Hey, thanks, everybody. I'm glad I made it. Yes. But, as far as what you're saying, the education right now is like, it depends on, like we said, which region that you're in, because I know we went to Norfolk Public Schools, so we got decent educations, versus, let's say, Philadelphia Public Schools, where they had to hand theirs over to the private system. I feel like, because the education that I had, and I didn't notice, when by going to Maury High School and taking those good classes, when I got to college, I was advanced. I had already learned a whole lot of things. So, fortunately, I had one of these good public school educations. So I think that, public schools are fine, and it should, definitely, it should be available to everyone. Having to pay, would be like, you know, like we already know. It's enough bills as is. I think it'd be a lot of youngsters out here that would have to get jobs, you know. And, you know, pretty much that would be a terrible thing. Like you said, I don't see why, but, you know, just like the jail system, there is an actual business side of education where it could become more of a business and people be asked to pay, you know.
Absolutely.
It doesn't seem, because a lot of people told me, you know, a long time ago we would never see marijuana legalized, and it's slowly happening. It's decriminalized in D.C., you know. So the potential of what you're saying, we can't. It's hard to imagine and everything right now, but if we don't pay attention to it can happen very easily, you know.
But I also think
to see it privatized.
Well, I was going to say, along with parents, if it did become a cost, the thing is that, like I asked before, would it be beneficial for our children? Would it be with a sense where they would stop having to take these SOLs? Because I don't get the point of them studying. All they do all year is study to take this test. And if they don't pass this ridiculous test, that I've never seen, my life situations aren't like that. You understand what I'm saying? Like when you look at the questions and what these children are actually studying for, they're not studying for any, they're not learning anything outside of what's on these tests. I don't get that. Is that going to change if we do that? You know, I mean, is it going to, are the public schools going to then be ran like the college institutions? I mean, you know, are you going to have to, fill out like, you know, a year and a half in advance, or when you become pregnant, you fill out the paperwork for a potential school? I mean, you know, how is that going to work? But then on the other side of that, would that get more parents involved in a positive manner, though?
Well, see, the thing that I noticed about the difference in the privatizing of the public schools, like I said, in Philadelphia, they still get, like, the state money or whatever, and they still get federal money. It's just that they're being ran by a corporation overall that's supposed to, I guess, have a better plan, or they're supposed to be professional educators or have, I don't know, some type of magic tricks that they do that'll bring up the literacy rate of Philadelphia in general. Like we said, that really starts at home, you know, and there's just a lot of parents that have been leaving the basic education of their children, the arithmetic, the basic 1, 2, 3, and the learning how to read and the phonics and everything, they're leaving all of that up to the teachers, and that's not right. Gotta start off taking the children at home, be the teacher, and then get the children a thirst for knowledge, and then send them out here to the school so that the teacher can work with them and refine what you've already started. But what I noticed is in Philadelphia, you had a lot of people that were leaving the whole education up to the school system, not really showing their children too much before sending them to school. Then the test rates and the standard of learning scores were low, and then they get handed over to that private corporation, which now it's a business. I don't care what they say. You've taken the whole concept of this, and you've made it a business. These people are going to profit. That's what corporations are set up for. It's not a nonprofit corporation that they set up. It's a regular, full-fledged, let's-get-money corporation. So when I look at it,
Let's pause right there for a minute, Ferb, because you just said a mouthful. I want to allow our special guest, Ms. Brinson, on the other side of this right break right here. I want her to respond to what you just stated, what she experiences, and just get some insight from her to know what we can do as parents, as supporters of education. You said it starts at home, and too many parents are putting their children's education off on teachers. It's not right. We'll be back.
CM
Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TMTM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TTTM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show.
Her birth mother, and now this woman who kidnapped her is
hopefully going to get a long time in prison because she really destroyed, you know, a family. I thought that was a bit much. This was breaking news really at the top of the show. In Detroit, Michigan, four officers were shot at the 6th Precinct in Detroit, Michigan this afternoon. Now, the shooter was killed in the process. There was no motive stated, and nor was the situation stated, but I'll let you guys know what's going on with that tomorrow because I'll have an update on that. And in the entertainment world, this to me was an effect on, an example of an effect of the education system. Gucci Mane had three-scoop ice cream cone tattooed on his face with lightning bolts and the word burr on his face. And I'm thinking to myself, do you ever think, I mean, like at 60, you're going to have, like the ice cream cone with the three scoops? Like, how does that work out? I don't know where. He said he lives his life cool as ice, and so that's what the tattoo stands for. No judgment, power to you, just kind of weird to me. And last but not least, Kanye West, he has he's slated to come out with a new album in summer of 2011. So probably by then we'll see who he's going to be beefing with for sales then. But that's it for your Entertainment National News for January 23rd. Your girl, CeeLo, peace. Love me, I love you.
Welcome back, TM Hyman Radio Live. Happy birthday again to Ferb and Ms. Jamie Brinson. Big up to all of the teachers. Ms. Brinson, happy birthday. You want to respond to the last caller's comment regarding it starts at home? Do you feel as if, you know, parents really are doing their part? Is it really starting at home, or is your job really more difficult than it should be?
Absolutely. That's exactly it. It starts at home. That's where it's supposed to start. I think we give educators too much credit, really, in the success of students because it comes from, you know, their background. And, of course, we can say, you know, kids that attend charter schools or private schools receive a better education, but it's not just that they're receiving a better education. It's that they come from households where they've been, you know, having two private tutors, where they're getting help with their homework, where they have a more stable family support system at home. So the social aspect of it and everything is better. They're in a better situation. So it comes from what they're getting at home. And a lot of times we try to incorporate, you know, our parents into, you know, assignments that we give our kids and things like that just to try to build that, just to help build the relationship between the kids and their parents because a lot of their self-confidence comes from the kind of environment they have at home. So our parents do have a lot to do with where our kids come. And a lot of times it does make our job a lot harder when we're dealing with kids that come from an unstable background or unstable home, things like that. So I think we give the educators too much credit in, you know, in a child's success because it has to start at home. It has to.
I'm sorry, this is CeeLo. I had a question for you. Now, for the parents that are listening that aren't, that at this present moment don't have a relationship with their children, like, say, dealing with school or even home life-wise, but they'd like to change that. Does anyone actually on the call have any advice on how to even start to help their children with their schoolwork? Or if they don't know, like, you know, something, what about the parents who weren't even educated enough themselves to help the children with their homework? Like, you know, how do we help them fix that?
I think it's, in my opinion, I think it's confidence. I think a lot of times you don't expect the parents to know what the children are learning, but just to ask, did you have any homework? How was school today? What did you learn in school today? I think it starts there. And a lot of our kids feel like their parents don't even care. So you can say, I'm going to call home or I'm going to call your parent. They're like, no, she doesn't care. She's not going to do anything about it. So it,
you know, it's not necessarily helping that child with that particular assignment, because that's what the teacher's there for. That's what their notes are there for. But just letting them know that you have their back and that you're supporting them, that goes a long way in a household.
Yeah, definitely. Mr. P, you want to comment on that?
Well, I don't blame things on parents, because there's no parents in these households. These households are headed 70% by a single woman. If she graduated from high school in June, any time before that point in her school career, she was never taught the responsibilities of citizenship, civil responsibility, nor to be a parent. That has to fall back on the community once again. You know, in the African-American community, in school districts, those children are being used as a commodity. They try to have them sitting in a chair up until about 11:30, where they account it. Then from that point on, you know, it's whatever. Once they account it, then that means funds come to that building. It's a lot more complicated than what it is. And the one question that the lady asked on what would be a solution, I would have liked to see some of Obama's TARP money go toward paying tutors, as I said before, mentors to come in and mentor the children as they're in the classroom. I visited a lot of places in West Africa, and those African immigrants immigrate into the United States with the highest educational attainment than any other ethnic groups, including Asians. But they come from schools where you may have 40 children in a school. So you have to ask yourself, what's going on there that's not going on here? But if we had those mentors, and especially with the athletes, that's highly athletic, but they're lacking in their education, academic skills. You need to have a mentor with an athlete in order to make sure that he or she, you know, performs the way they should do. And also, your school, your education system should also have a skill attainment system. There's a difference between education and skills. And being the fact that African Americans don't control, you know, much of the economy in their community, well, there should be programs, there should be courses, there should be curriculums that give them the skill to do that. And this should start as early as, so I say, like your elementary going into middle school, like sixth grade. And the education system, I hear people, you know, not to be down the young the man that was on earlier, but if this education system was working for African Americans, then it would show up in the statistics. It would show up in the statistics of household income. It would show up in the statistics of business wealth. And right now, in those particular statistics, we rank dead last amongst other ethnic groups. And in one particular case, with the percentage of businesses that blacks control compared to the overall business in America, that percentage haven't changed since the Civil War. It's still right less than half of 1%.
Right. Folks, you are in tune to TM Hyman Radio Live. The discussion tonight has been an interesting one. If you've just tuned into the show, there's only 25 minutes left. It's 8:34 where I am. It's 7:34 in Houston tonight with our special guest, Ms. Jamie Brinson, educator. Mr. P's been hanging out with us from the Midwest. And folks, if nothing else, go back, listen to the podcast from the top of the show. It should increase your awareness of what's really happening on the educational landscape. 917-889-3926. On the other side of this, we have our health and wellness segment coming up live out of Virginia. And then we're going to talk to a student. Let's get a student's perspective. We got OD coming up. He's going to tell us his public school experience. Did he have the support? You know, did his parent push everything off on education? We'll find out. Up next, TM Hyman Radio Live.
Baby, I'm sorry. It's too late. Tomorrow may never come. So sorry. It's too late. Tomorrow may never come. I'm sorry. It's too late. Tomorrow may never come. So sorry. It's too late.
I got some films, still in the back of my mind, but it's for film. And I can hack it, I'm fine, instead of crying.
I'd rather jot it down on the line, numbing up without snoring the line. They got my cousin confined, violated, gotta finish the time. But shit, homie, I feel the whole world trying shit on me, ready to bet it up on this chick, homie. Turn around, got a new chick trying kiss on me. Ex-girlfriend that's on it popped up, knocked up happy, it's not mine, but sad, it's not us. Now my new girl mad at this crush I cut. We still together, can't let another bitch stop us. I got beef cause two other niggas, girls I fuck, can get them hit, but niggas ain't worth that much. They ain't worth that call, yeah, my daytime minutes. And I ain't falling for that playground kid shit. When I grow up, I just wanna be alive. I just wanna live, I don't wanna die. I don't wanna get off the wrong vibe. Listen to the beat, please listen to it. Crying, crying hard, hard not to listen to my pride. Tell myself ain't shit, some tell me it's a lie. Fuck the side, pain tending so to your eyes. They say it's better just to vent than to keep it inside. But you know life, caviar, Rio wife. That's the dream, I dream it every single night. How I feel, can't show it, can't show what's real. They only know what's on the camera like the movie Cloverfield. I got goals unattainable, like I don't know. Stuck on the rope, found attainable, and can't let go. I can't climb cause my arms too so. Failure catching me, success ahead of me, but I'm stuck on pro. I can't juke cause the art too broke. It's just a part of the growth, mood music, but minus the joke. I say when am I can't fathom, I wanna push square and ask man, but my pride too big to just ask him. I'm in the wrong lead, man, I just passed them. I'm in the wrong race, man, I just laughed them. Gotta step the competition up. They say you gotta fight the big dogs, you want the bigger buck. When I grow up, I just wanna be alive. I just wanna live, I don't wanna die. I don't wanna get off the wrong vibe. Listen to the beat, please listen to it. Crying, crying hard, hard not to listen to my pride. Tell myself ain't shit, some tell me it's a lie. Fuck the side, pain tending so to your eyes. They say it's better just to vent than to keep it inside. They say jailbird, jailbird, leave a nigga alone. He's a jailbird, jailbird, never coming home. What if it's family? They want big kip locks, can't let a nigga get successful, then they throw him in the box. They throw away the key, leave his kids on the block. I can only imagine what it's like not having a pop. Black America, what do we do? It's only so long he could be picked on before he shoots up the school. That doesn't justify that V-Tech that he used. Pop the question, get Sean Bell, shit on the news. This morning woke up kind of sick, homie. Grandma gone, girlfriend trying to flip on me. Mama called my phone just to trip on me. Nigga in my face battling. See, it's not his fault, but he spit on me. I end up grabbing him. He end up grabbing for his ration in the ambulance. Pack him in the back and it's back to when the travel up. I just wanna be alive, I just wanna live, I don't wanna die, I don't wanna get off the wrong vibe. Listen to the beat, please listen to it. Crying, crying hard, hard not to listen to my pride. Tell myself ain't shit, some tell me it's a lie. Fuck the side, pain tending so to your eyes. They say it's better just to vent than to keep it inside.
Hyman, Radio Live, your hip-hop informer, that dude, T.M. Hyman. It's 18 degrees in New York City. It's 58 degrees here in Tampa, Florida. I'm coming to you live from Tampa with your health and wellness segment coming live out of Chesapeake, VA. Give it up for Didi.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening on the T.M. Hyman Radio Live Show. Please forgive me. I am currently under the weather, but I'm going to do the very best I can to bring you tonight's health and wellness segment on positive self-image. I think it's something that correlates or relates to the topic tonight. How do we define self-image? The definition given is the idea, conception, or mental image one has of oneself, the self-esteem, respect, or favorable image of oneself. I define self-image as how I perceive myself or how you perceive yourself. It can be very different than what the world sees you. Of course, we all have probably a good positive self-image of ourselves, or we see a good positive self-image of ourselves, but others may see something totally different. And it's definitely
the perception of it all, regardless of how we look at it. We want the world to see what we're seeing as well. It's very important that your self-image, again, is both positive and realistic. And finding the balance between feeling positive about yourself but having realistic goals is definitely something that we need to strive for. How to improve our self-image. Improving your self-image takes time and practice, especially if you don't have a good view of yourself. Now, you can have a great view of yourself, and it can work in against you as opposed to working for you, or you can have a bad view of yourself, and again, that can work for you or against you as well. But definitely, when developing a good, your self-image or self-esteem, you want to have a positive attitude towards yourself and towards the world. You want to appreciate your worth, and at the same time, you want to appreciate others' worth, have that responsibility of knowing that just as you are worth something, others are worth something too. So you want to begin by improving your self-image by working from the inside out, and you definitely can rebuild your self-esteem. You can do this by accentuating the positive, accept flaws, and being human. Replace criticism with encouragement. Don't feel guilty about the things that are beyond your control. However, do feel responsible for your feelings. Focus on things you can do and not what you cannot do. Take inventory of your self-image. Define personal goals and objectives. Make sure to be realistic and measurable. Develop your strengths. Learn to love yourself, definitely. And give positive affirmations. And always remember that you're definitely a unique individual. A healthy self-image starts with learning to accept and love ourselves. It also means being accepted and loved by others. Thank you, and please come back tomorrow and join me for another segment involving self-image and body image. Thank you. Have a good night.
I hope you feel better. You sound like you were, like, putting your all in it, trying to make it happen. Thank you very much. Wow. Drink some coffee, some tea or something. Thank you very much. All the way live from the Peak VA tonight, under the weather, but still putting it down for you in the area of health and wellness. Give it up for Didi. Join us back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. We'll be right back.
Ladies, if you're anything like me, you never have enough time in your day to handle all of the important things. So why waste your valuable time running from store to store to purchase everyday items? Listen, I have your solution. Log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. It's your one-stop shop for just about everything you need, from cleaning to nutrition to beauty. If it's in your home, it's on the site, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So log on to www.determineyourdestiny.com. Exclusive items right at your fingertips at your convenience. Determine your destiny.
Need energy? Can't sleep? Yo, you have discomfort? Yo, I got a solution for you. The name of the company is called Ciora. Yo, I need you to log on. Foresight.ciora.com. www.foresight.ciora.com. Stress, pain, can't sleep, all of those issues. Put the Red Bull down. Stop popping those pills because this product is non-transdermal. Ciora is the company. Yo, it's global. It is blown up, and now it's all over the world. Be the first to try a new cutting-edge solution. www.foresight.ciora.com. Foresight.ciora.com. Can't sleep? Need energy? Got discomfort? Ciora.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. 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 Talk Radio Show.
WHAC Team Hyman Radio Live. Welcome back to the show. It's 10:45 in the a.m. tomorrow out in Tokyo. It's 1:45 in the a.m. tomorrow in London. You are in tune to Team Hyman Radio Live. Tonight's topic has been surrounding just the notion about if the United States could put a charge on public education, what would the impact be for us? My man, Mr. P, out in the Midwest, said it's just the idea is just stupid. It could never happen. You know, but guess what? I think anything's possible. At the end of the day, we just got to make sure it never happens. We got to stand up and support our teachers and do more to support our kids in education. Our special guest, Miss Jamie Brinson, tonight. Thanks for taking some time out of your special birthday to hang out with us. Miss Brinson, just before you get out of here, can you tell us, you know, from your view, the one thing that we can do to improve education?
The one thing that the community can do, I feel like, would just be more supportive with, you know, with your students as far as like your neighborhood parks and things like that. Just offer tutor programs or just incentives for kids that receive good grades when they report cards and things like that. Just offer more supportive systems out in the community for the kids. And I think that that would not only give them another outlet other than home, but it, you know, outside of school, it gives them somewhere else they can go and not just lost, just going home and playing video games and things like that. So I think we should just be more supportive by offering more programs in our communities, in our state parks, and things like that. That's my opinion. If you are not a parent yourself.
We want to just say thank you. TM Hyman Radio Live thanks you for your contributions and all that you do for education. Even though you're out in North Houston putting it down, I'm sure, you know, there are kids out there in North Houston that's somewhat like OD, and, you know, they make your job hard. OD, welcome to the show. OD, how was your public education experience? Was it a good one for you? Was it a bad one? Did you feel like you had support at home?
Yeah, it was cool. Like, that's what pushed me through, because, like, from kindergarten to what, eighth grade, if I got in trouble, I got a beating. I ain't want no beating. So, like, I was still bad, though. Like, but my mom was smart, so she knew the work. So that just made it worse on the teacher, because I knew if I ain't learning in class, I go home, my mom was going to teach me that. So I just showed off the whole day. And, like, that's what helped me realize I didn't want to be a teacher no more. You know what I mean? And I went to Lake Taylor, like, we made a couple of teachers quit, you know what I mean? But my thing, if you want to make the kids better, I believe that you need to put them on pills and just beat them. Let the teachers bring them back.
Stop playing.
I'm serious. You let them kids know that the teacher can beat them.
You know what, though? When we were younger, they used to beat us in school.
That didn't make me act better.
To pick out what paddle. I stayed in the principal's office.
I must say,
I agree.
I got the paddle, too.
I don't agree with the pills.
I don't agree with the pills or the Ritalin, because I think the Ritalin is a problem for our kids in education as well today. But Mr. P, thanks for hanging out, man. We got like 9 minutes left in the show. Anything you want to say to conclude tonight?
Well, you know, some type of suggestions just go to show you the failure, not only the community but also the education system. But here's the point: until black people change their economic position in this country, they're going to have these social problems. And if you're living in a small community, your education system should be teaching children how to come out of the school and be able to control that economy that's in that community. Let me give you an example. In most areas where blacks live, they don't have the jobs for the fire district. Well, here in this city, what we've done, we have put some of the prerequisites that they have put in place to bar blacks from getting into these fire districts. We have put those courses, like the emergency medical technician and trying to get paramedic, in the high school. That way, when that children graduate from high school, then through activism, we can get them hired on those fire districts. Because if the fire district is serving 85% black population, 85% of the jobs that their fire district offers should be people of that community. Your children shouldn't have to drive, you know, 50 miles every day out of the community in order to make a living. And people that live 50 miles out of your community shouldn't be able to come into your community and take your jobs like that. That's totally asinine.
Absolutely. Thanks for your comments and your perspective tonight. Hey, feel free to stop by past any time, man. That's Mr. P hanging out, talking about your children from the Midwest tonight. Ferg, happy birthday to you, brother. Any closing comments?
Well, for the birthday shout out, and you know, hey, everybody, you know, go ahead and take time with your children. You know, don't make it so these people go ahead and profit off of education across the board, because that's what it really means. If they turn around and make it so that you got to pay for school, somebody gonna put that money in their pocket. You know, so. For the sake of us that did get a good public school education, you know, stay aware and teach your children. Ugh.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, brother. Miss Brinson, thank you for hanging out again all the way from North Houston, educating the kids out there. Appreciate your happy birthday. Any closing
thank
comments you have? Any closing comments?
Yeah. I think it's been well said. Just support your, you know, support your community, support your own kids at home, and understand that it comes from home first. That's the only thing I require from my parents. I'll do the teaching. You just help give them the confidence they need to come to my classroom and be successful. I'll take the rest.
Absolutely. So thank you very much for all that you do for education. Again, happy birthday, folks. 917-889-3926. We got like 6 minutes left in the show. We're going to get it in. I got this empowerment joint I want to do, and then we'll be right back.
This is your dude, T.M. Hyman, your hip-hop informer, coming to you with your Empowerment Sunday word. You know, I just want to talk to you about confidence tonight. A lot of times, you know, people can say things, we can hear things, you know, that kind of blow our mood, you know, rain on our parade, if you will. But I just want to encourage anybody who has a vision, anybody who is trying to make something happen, and you may not be getting the support from others that you really, really need, expect, or desire. Sometimes you got to learn how to be a self-motivator. You got to motivate yourself, pick yourself up, whether somebody gives you a hand clap, a kudos, a token of appreciation. Sometimes it has to be driven from within. Confidence. Look the word up, understand it, grab it, embrace it. Be confident in what it is that you're doing, knowing that God has planted gifts, talents, and a vision in you. And whether somebody wants to support it or not, you and God, and I'm sure there's somebody that you can touch and agree with. Where there's two that touch and agree, it is so. This is your dude, T.M. Hyman, your hip-hop informer. Again, just trying to encourage you. Trying to encourage you and empower you this hip-hop encouragement, empowerment Sunday. We'll be right back. It's Sunday, January 23rd. You're in tuned. T.M. Hyman Radio Live.
So hard to breathe, it's air that we call love. Ain't nothing worse than a hurt beat from love. When you get hurt by the one you're living for, pain can make you wanna love no more.
No more. I just can't be loving you no more. I love you more than I love myself. Still I say I love you.
go. Giving from your heart is what you taught me. Addiction, pain is what got me.
Live, see him, high, and 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 live.